Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's good to be here tonight. You know, you just never know how many more opportunities we're going to have to gather like this. So it is a wonderful thing. And, you know, I know we don't have huge crowds here on Wednesday nights, but that's okay because we know that the Lord is right here with us. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to open with a prayer here tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee, O God, for thy goodness. We thank thee for bringing us here this evening. And I pray, O God, that thy Spirit would be here tonight. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us as we sing unto thee, as we worship thee. I pray that thy light would shine through us. I pray, O God, that we would be a witness to this world. I pray, O God, that people would be inspired as they drive by, as they hear the music. I pray, O God, that thou wast do a work in their hearts, O God. And I pray, O God, that people would stop and think about thee. And I pray, O God, that we would truly be witnesses for thee, O Lord. And I pray, O God, that everything we do here tonight, I pray would be done according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. I pray for thy blessing upon this service. I pray that thy perfect will would be done in all things. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start in a chorus book here tonight with number 40. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Number 40.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Praise the Lord.
Yes, our God is great, and there is none greater. That's why we come together like this. That's why we worship him.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Let's reach out and touch the Lord tonight. Let's go to number 76 in the chorus book. Reach out and touch the Lord. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Yeah. let's go to number 157. 157 and sing Open Our Eyes, Lord. Number 157. See Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's go to number 79. Number 79 and sing, I See the Lord.
And his train fills the temple.
28 and sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, number 128. Wonderful thing that we can turn our eyes upon Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to take up the collection now. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for all Thy goodness towards us, for Thy many bountiful blessings, for Thy sustaining power and Thy mercy and Thy grace that has kept us. I pray, O God, that Thou would continue to lead us in all things, continue to direct us. We need Thy wisdom so very much. We need Thee to give us understanding on what we should do and how we should use these funds for Thy glory, for Thy sake, for the cause of Thy holy name. I pray, Lord, that Thou will continue to lead and guide and direct us in this endeavor, O God. We thank Thee for this ministry that Thou hast given us. We thank Thee for this place that Thou hast given us. We know, O God, that it is only by Thy grace that we are here tonight. And I pray, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here this night and also bless those who are unable to give. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we turn this over to Shirley for Bible study. And there's a song that's just been on my mind, and I need to double check and make sure the number, but I think it's 93. Just going to double check that. Yes, number 93 in the hymnal, Oh, I Want to See Him.
To the crimson flow, many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through Him I must win. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. Streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling close to Him, He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain height, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight. With a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my work, He doth safely keep. And He leads me gently on through this world below,
Turn this over to Shirley in just a moment. I do want to change the battery on this lavalier because I see we have the yellow light, but that'll just take a moment. Praise God. All right. Glory to God. We will get started momentarily here. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, I am thankful to be here tonight and to have this nice warm building. Praise God. Cold out there today. I think it was 17 last I checked, so good to have warm coats. And I remember all those times when I was a kid, we'd have church here some Wednesday nights and the furnace would go out and everybody would be sitting around shivering. But thankfully that hasn't happened in a very long time. Praise God. All right, well, looks like we're about ready to go here, so we'll turn it over to Shirley and see what the Lord has laid on her heart. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's wonderful to worship the Lord. I know I heard today, well, been emailing Dawn Dubay back and forth because her mother has been dying the last few days. And this is Miriam. And we've just seen so many good things happen to her in the past. But I guess it was finally her time. And 95 years old, and just so many miracles that God has done for her, and I've just had wonderful opportunities to pray with her and even be with her, but today she went home. About 7:30 in the morning, she went home to be with the Lord, and I guess I can't help but think of her there, and we sing those songs, how I want to see him, and you know, I just think it's such a thing. You know, at times, you know, this life gets heavy, it gets hard, and you know, there's times when God's people want to lay it down and, you know, just go home and be with the Lord, and you know, it's a wonderful hope that we have. I don't know how people who don't have the Lord, how they respond, you know, to think of nothingness ahead of them or whatever, but you know, we have such a wonderful hope in our earthen vessel that yes, someday, you know, these temporary things here on this earth are going to be over, and we're going to go home and see the Lord. We're going to be in His presence. We're going to see Him as He is, and what a wonderful thing that is when our heart has been made right by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord.
God is so good, and I know that He comforts our hearts, you know, when, you know, we lose that one. It's not so easy, but praise the Lord. The Lord knows, oh, yes, what is best and how to comfort us, too. I'm just thankful for God's wonderful ways. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again, Lord, that we could come before you, Lord. God, we have such a privilege, Lord, of coming before thee in thy presence to worship you, to praise you, Lord, to give our hearts to you, Lord, to turn to you, Lord. Oh, God, while we yet have these moments, Lord Jesus, we thank you, God. Oh, God, we just praise you, God. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for that hope that is deep within us, Lord. And hope that someday we're going to see you. We're going to be with you. These trials, these troubles of this life are going to be over, Lord. We're going to reign with you. And oh God, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done, oh God. And we're just going to believe you, Lord. Lord, there's some unfinished things, God. We've got some loved ones, Lord, that need yet to be saved. I pray, oh God, that you reach out and touch them, Lord. I pray that you move here tonight, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you change our hearts, that you motivate us, God, that you get us to that higher ground that we so desperately need to be at, oh Lord God. And I pray that you talk to us. Oh Lord, that you bind every unruly spirit, oh Lord, every opposing spirit, every dark spirit, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And I pray, oh Lord, that there wouldn't be any hindrances, oh Lord, but that your word would go forth, oh Lord, and that you would help us. Oh God, you know us and you know our needs. I pray, oh God, that you'd move here tonight, oh God, that you talk to hearts, and oh God, that you change hearts, oh Lord, that have not yet given their lives to thee. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Oh, thank you, Lord. We could do nothing without you, Lord. We give you this service. So thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise our God. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, we're going to call this message Perfecting Holiness in the Fear of God. If you just want to write Perfecting Holiness, I guess that's okay. But I'll just use the full name here for the moment, Perfecting Holiness in the Fear of God. And we're going to turn to 1 Peter here to begin here tonight. And just read a portion of scripture here from this beautiful chapter. The whole Bible is so exciting and so thrilling. And I know this epistle of 1 Peter, wow, this man, you could tell he knew the Lord. He'd been changed by Almighty God, and wow, he most likely was near the end of his life by the time he wrote these epistles, it seems. But, you know, you could tell that he had a walk with the Lord. And he just didn't say things to say it, just speak into the air, but his words were with meaning, and I believe they were anointed by God. I praise the Lord for that. Okay, 1 Peter, the first chapter, and we're going to go down to verse 13 here tonight. Verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to just stop right there for this service, I suppose, and just consider these verses here for a moment. Here, you know, first of all, Peter is writing and he's telling his readers to gird up the loins of their mind And, oh, yes, we always need that vigilance. We need to always be watchful. And, you know, he's telling the church to be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We just know we're in an endurance race. And it's you know, this race isn't to the quick or the swift. It's unto those that endure unto the end. And there's a moment that we're all waiting for. Or even if we're not waiting for it, it's going to happen. And that is the revelation of Jesus Christ when, behold, he cometh in clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Oh, yes, that moment when he is revealed from heaven. And, of course, you know, there's something that we all hope for at that moment, and that is that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is upon our lives and has covered us by his blood and his wonderful salvation. So that's the great hope that we have to the end, that at that moment when he comes, that all our hearts will be right with him and there'll be no offenses within us. Nothing to stand between us and our Lord. Verse 14 tells us not to fashion ourselves according to the former lusts in our ignorance. We were all out there one time. We were all serving the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We were all, you know, at enmity with God. But how beautiful it is that grace of our loving Savior came and appeared to us so that we might repent and turn away from all that former lust, all those things that were of our past, all the things that he showed unto us that we did in our ignorance when we didn't know the Lord. And praise the Lord, we don't have to fashion ourselves like that anymore. There's a complete change in God's people when they truly come to him in repentance. And I've said it before, you know, please don't tell me you repented if there's no changes in your life. Because, you know, each and every one of us, oh God, we're just out there wandering around and doing this. And probably just pretty much like everybody else in the way we think and the way we dress and in what we do. But praise the Lord, there's one that touched our lives and he changed us so that we don't have to be like our former selves. We don't have to live according to the former lust in our ignorance. But as obedient children, we want to get right with the Lord, and we want to be like unto the Lord himself. And it says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. And of course, that word conversation goes beyond just talking. It encompasses conduct, our whole life. Of course, if we look at the word holy, it's emphasized here. It's, you know, it's telling us we're to be holy in all manner of conversation because the one that called us is holy, and that's what he expects. If we're holy, then we're dedicated. We're set apart. We're consecrated. There's a difference in us. And it tells us in verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We serve a holy God. And that's what he expects of his people. He expects us to be transformed, not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by that renewing of our mind, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He expects it of us. So, if we call on the Father who's going to judge us without respect to persons, it's not going to matter at that moment, our race, our background, you know, whether we're male or female, what our occupation was, he's going to judge without respect of persons. He's going to judge according to every man's work. And so, here it is. We are to pass the time of our sojourning here in fear. And of course, we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. because we know that for sure we're going to stand before a holy God, and He's a consuming fire, and it's going to be a fearful thing to stand before the holy God and not to have your heart right with the Lord. So there is such a need here to pass the time of our stay here on earth, of our sojourning here in fear. That means, with carefulness. We're just not going to go out and just do anything because, we know He's merciful, He's kind, He's good, He loves us. So, we think, if we slip up a half a dozen million times, then, it's all going to be okay. Well, after a while, if you do that a half a dozen million times, and I'm certainly exaggerating there, I think, pretty soon, you're not even going to know what's right and wrong. I'm afraid, pretty soon you're going to be so used to doing those things that are wrong that, you won't even have a mind to the things that are right. You won't even perceive what is right. So there is this need to tremble before the presence of the Lord and to work out our salvation in such a way that, we realize we're going to stand before God and give an account. And He has told us that we must be holy, for He is holy. If we go back to the Old Testament, we know this was one of the things that He expected of His first covenant people. And I'm going back to the book of Leviticus here for a moment. And we'll go to the 11th chapter. And just catch a verse here. Leviticus 11, verse 44. It reads, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I, the Lord, that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt, to be your God, ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." And praise the Lord, He gave His people certain ordinances, restrictions, because He wanted them to be His own peculiar treasure. He wanted them to be a dedicated, set-apart people. And there were certain things that He counted as abominable, and He would not be pleased if His people did such. So here it's clearly declared, He is the Lord. He said, "I'm the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God." And that was, He was separating them from the Egyptians when He brought them out of Egypt. That was one of His purposes there, to separate them. And of course, to be holy is to be separated from the world and the way it thinks and the way it acts, the way the world in general behaves. Because, yes, we serve a holy God, and we've got to regard His ways. We know that things at that time were dedicated. He commanded that the things that pertained to His sanctuary and to His priests and all their way of life, they were all dedicated. And there was that holy anointing oil that was used to dedicate at that time, to set things apart and declare, no, this is sacred. This is something special. We're not going to just play with these items. They're here for a purpose and for a reason. And we're dedicating them to God. And they showed that. There was this anointing oil, and they were told to prepare it very specifically. There were specific ingredients that went into it, and it was to be done in a particular way, and they weren't to use this anointing oil in any other manner but for the artifacts that God had decreed, or for the anointing of the priests or their garments or the holy items, the parts of the tabernacle that were all dedicated to God, the table, the vessels, the candlesticks, the altar of incense, the burnt offering, and all the vessels, all of those things were sacred, and they were dedicated. They were to be holy. And so God gave them the recipe for a very specific anointing oil that would set these things apart. And like I said, they weren't to use this oil for any other purpose but for that which pertained to the tabernacle or to the priests, all that sort of thing. It should be holy unto the Lord. And in fact, in Exodus, the 30th chapter, it was declared that whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. It was for this only reason, to sanctify Aaron, to anoint Aaron and his sons, to consecrate them and all the items, all the articles there in the tabernacle. So these things were set aside. And besides that, God had set aside these Israelite people. They were to be his own peculiar treasure. We look at Exodus, the 19th chapter, and read a few verses here. It tells us that. It says in verse 1, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Israel, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I did. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, above all people, for all the earth is mine. God could determine what he's going to do. You know who he's going to set apart. And he said in verse 6, And ye shall be unto me a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So there it was. It was conditional. Because it is clearly stated, If you will obey my voice, indeed, if you will keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. God was setting them aside, and he had all these ordinances and things for them, particularly because they were to be his peculiar treasure, and he didn't want them doing the things that the other people were doing. He didn't want them looking like the other people, behaving like the other people, because he had set them apart. They were consecrated. They were to be an holy nation, a peculiar people. So he had desired that they would be set apart and given over to the cause of the great God. I think it's so interesting when God called Moses initially there. You know, it's just really something. Moses, of course, we know that he could have stayed in Egypt. You know, he was a son of Pharaoh's daughter. And, you know, it seems from what recorded history reveals is that he was a general, even. He had a name for himself. He had done some, you know, amazing things there in the first 40 years of his life. But there was an end to that, because there was a call on Moses' life. And, you know, it's really something, as I was thinking about this, how God called Moses, how he calls each and every one of us. You know, he calls us individually to come to him, to give our hearts to him, to repent, to surrender that will, those emotions to God, that individual call. In the third chapter of Exodus, God is calling Moses. It's been a while. He had to flee Egypt. We know, you know, it wasn't going so well when suddenly it came to him to identify with the children of Israel. And all at once, he had to flee. And so he is. And another 40 years has passed. That's a long time of preparation in reality. But God had a plan. He had a purpose. And here it tells us in the third chapter of Exodus how Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he had fled. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And this day was very special. I don't know if he went here frequently or if this was the first time, but suddenly, there he was at the mount, at Mount Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And Moses looked at that, and it was phenomenal because there was this bush, and it was burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, it tells us in the third verse, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. It was phenomenal. Here it was. There was a flame of fire and the bush was burning, but it was not being consumed. But something very special was happening. God was calling Moses. In the fourth verse it says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And I like that. I don't know, you know, what he knew. I believe his mother taught him somewhat before, you know, he became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But, it wasn't like, you know, he was forever in that position. But I think it's amazing here. God called him. He said, Moses, Moses. And Moses responded. He said, here am I. And God said to him, verse 5, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Oh, it was dedicated ground. It was special. God was doing something special here. He was calling the man Moses. And all at once, Moses was in the awesome presence of Almighty God. And here it is, God making himself known to Moses. It says in verse 6, moreover, he said, identifying himself, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And here it is. You know, God is so awesome. And when Moses perceived who was talking to him, it says Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And I'll tell you, those people that brazenly, oh, embarrass our God, blaspheme him, and say all manner of evil and act any old way they want to, live according to the dictates of their heart, they too are going to stand before God. And I'll tell you what, they might think they're just going to tell him off. But oh, there is no way. Every time I see an encounter with God in the scripture, oh, I see the reaction. There's fear. It's, you know, you're looking at God, and it's not typical. You know, it's not like you would expect at all, because there is none like God. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And so it was, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, in a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I also have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. And in verse 10 he says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And oh my, there's a huge sermon in all of this scripture. But this was God making himself known to Moses, calling him out of that bush and identifying himself. I don't believe, no, Moses knew God to that extent at all before. You know, he probably knew of God, but I believe this is the first time that he actually had an encounter with God, and how awesome it was. But there he was, standing in the presence of God, standing on holy ground. And how beautiful it is when the Lord calls us as individuals, and all at once we can see, all at once God makes himself known to us. Oh, there's no moment like that. And what a joyful thing it is to be in that place where the Lord's presence is, and to realize that it's just not normal, but God is there. It's holy. It's set apart. It's been sanctified. It's dedicated. What a wonderful thing. And so it is, God calls us to be his own holy, peculiar treasure, to be his own people. That means that we're set apart, that we can't do like the rest of the world. We can't live like them and act like them and talk like them and dress like them. No, because the Lord has called us. And as it's written in Romans, the 12th chapter, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you make yourself a living sacrifice unto God, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And telling us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove that which is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, praise the Lord. He calls us out of the world. Oh, yes, so that we could be distinguished from the world, so that we could be separated from the world, so that we could be holy, and so that we in our living can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we're not going to be normal. You know, he sets us apart, and you know, he gives us a cross to carry as individuals. Jesus said in Matthew, the 10th chapter, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth not me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Oh, yes, we give our life to the Lord. We're not going to live according to the dictates of our heart in the normal sense, the things that, you know, maybe are the innate desires before we knew the Lord. Because God begins to change our lives. Oh, yes, we become new creatures in Christ, and those old things pass away. And praise the Lord, all things become new. We take up that cross. Oh, yes, we're not going to know exactly where it's going to take us. Moses didn't realize when God was calling him exactly what God was going to do through him and how God was going to use him and what he was going to have to endure. But there was something beyond that. Oh, yes, because all through eyes of faith, we see beyond this temporal world, this little vapor of life that, you know, is here for a moment and then vanisheth away. Oh, we begin to see beyond it. Oh, yes, because Oh, there's a city. There's a city. Oh, yes, that city of Zion. And it's coming down one of these days. It's been reserved for the people of God. And oh, it's going to come down from God out of heaven. And oh, it's going to be that city of great delight for the people of God. That city where the Lamb is a light. That city where there is no sin. Oh, yes, there is no suffering. There is no death. There are no toils. There are no pains in that city. Oh, that's been reserved for the people of God. What a wonderful promise we have in the Lord Jesus. But we take up that cross and follow Him. And we don't always know where that cross is going to lead us, you know. You know, various places I'm sure He's already taken you to already as you carry your cross. But yet we know there's an end to it. We know that the Lord goes with us as we carry that cross. And He makes it bearable. In fact, oh yes, He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy." And He bids us to let Him help Him. Help us carry that cross. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. Those promises of God that He is a love for His people. But we are to be holy as our God is holy. And He came to this earth to put us on that path, to give us that direction and to help us to walk in that highway of holiness. I'm going to go to Isaiah 35 right now. It talks about that highway of holiness. And I'll tell you what a thing it was when the Lord Jesus came into the scene to bring forth that abundant life that we have in the Lord Jesus. It describes it in very figurative terms here in Isaiah 35, verse 1, the wilderness. And the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It says, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. And here it's talking about places that were barren, like the wilderness and the solitary places, the desert, all at once coming alive and rejoicing and blossoming as a rose. And not only that, but blossoming abundantly. I think how Jesus said, how the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said that He came that we might have life. And that we might have it more abundantly. Oh, yes, that life that is in Christ, because He goes before us. And He makes a way. He gives us that strength and that enablement that we wouldn't have of ourselves. So, as it's described here in Isaiah 35, oh, yes, when Jesus came into the scene, oh, yes, all at once there was rejoicing. There was blossoming abundantly. Rejoicing even with joy and singing. Oh yes, the glory of Lebanon. Lebanon, which was known for its beautiful, fruitful forests. It shall be given unto it. Oh yes, the beautiful Carmel and Sharon, beautiful places that were known for being fruitful and beautiful. Oh, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord. And the excellency of our God. Oh, there's rejoicing. There's rejoicing with hope. There's blessings because Jesus comes into the scene. Oh, yes, of this world. Oh, yes, how it was before the Lord came to this earth as our Savior. So it tells us in verse 3, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. He will come and save you. Oh, yes. So, no need to fear. But instead, to be strong, to encourage oneself, because behold, our God will come with vengeance. And we know, oh, as we stand here tonight, or we sit here tonight, that our God, our Savior, is coming back, and He is coming back with vengeance and with a recompense. He's coming for His people to seek it, those that He has come to seek and to save. He's coming to rescue His people, to bring them to that place where He is. But the first time when He came into that hopeless condition, that hopeless world, what happened? It tells us in verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Oh yes, Jesus was bringing forth that living water, wasn't He? Oh, that living water that He told the Samaritan woman about. There, that woman at the well. Oh, that water that she would drink of, that she'd never thirst again. Oh, yes, but it would be a well of life springing up into everlasting life. Something deep. Something, oh, that would never go dry. Something that could be replenished continuously in our lives. That living water that Jesus Christ proclaimed to His people, that gift of the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord, in figurative language here, it talks about it. Oh, waters breaking forth in the wilderness, places that were barren and maybe without sustenance even. Places of limited water, streams in the desert. It talks about the parched ground. Oh, the ground that was parched because it was so dry. There wasn't enough water to nourish it. But all at once it becomes a pool. Oh, yes, because Jesus has come. Oh, yes, the thirsty land, springs of water in the habitations of dragons where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Oh, the joy of true salvation. Oh, the plan that our God brought forth when He came to this world to seek and to save those that were lost, to bring us hope, to restore those things that the locusts had eaten, all of that. And He was going to bring forth a highway, it tells us in verse 8. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Oh, praise the Lord, there's this highway. It's a highway of holiness. It's for those people that have come to the Lord in repentance, given their lives over to the Lord, surrendering their wills to the Almighty One, going down in those waters of baptism for the remission of sins, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, He puts us on that road. He puts us on that way. He puts us on that way of holiness. It's a way of separation. It's a way of dedication, a consecration. It tells us very clearly, the unclean shall not pass over it. In other words, sin does not pass over it. We give that sin up, for we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we came to the Lord and He cleansed us. He purified us. And He gave us hope that, you know, if it be that we slip up and make a mistake, that we could come to Him again and let Him cleanse us. Let Him purify us. Let Him make us holy. Because we are told, we are commanded to be holy. Because God is holy. Therefore, He's made a way of holiness for us. And like it says very clearly here, the unclean shall not pass over it. Oh, you're not going to just err into this way. No, is a call that comes forth, just as God called Moses. He's called each and every one of us. And when we heeded that call and we gave our lives to the Lord, we surrendered our will to the Lord and repented of our sins, He purified us. Oh yes, we went down in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins and came up cleansed and holy in the sight of God with the promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. If we didn't receive it right then and there, but praise the Lord, He made this way. Oh yes, those creepy things are not going to walk on this way of holiness. Oh, no lion's going to be there on this walk of holiness, nor any ravenous beast. They're not going to be found at all. Anything that's unclean, that's not holy, is not going to be found on this road, on this highway. But it says, the redeemed shall walk there. Oh, it tells us in verse 10, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord gives us something to live for. He puts something deep in our hearts. Oh, we know what we were before we came to the Lord. But God took us that precious blood that He shed for us. He applied it to our lives so that we could come to Him, so that we could be the ransom to the Lord, and we could return. We could come to Zion. He puts that song of praise in our heart, even praises to our God. And oh, many shall see it and know and fear and praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, yes, who's been so gracious to us. Praise the Lord. That's joy that He puts within us. It's just not a temporary thing. But here it tells us all those songs, that joy is everlasting. He puts it deep within us, those wells of living water that he has made for us, that we might be His own. Oh, as He puts us on that wonderful highway of holiness, that no unclean thing is going to pass over. But praise the Lord, He made a way that we could be washed in His blood. You know, back under the old covenant, they had to offer a sacrifice, an animal. There had to be blood that was shed to have remission of sins. And it was just for a temporary time to take care of the things that were in the past. And every year they had to come back and do it again and do it again. It was temporary. It wasn't complete. It wasn't perfect. But praise the Lord, there was one, oh yes, who came forth to bring forth a new covenant in His blood, a perfect covenant that would totally take care of sin. And He did it once, so that He would not have to be offered again. The thing is, yes, He became our high priest, the one that took care of us, the one who took care of our sin. And because of that, we become His temple, that dwelling place of the Lord, that temple of the living God. If we go to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, let's read a bit here. If you look at verse 14, it tells us, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? You know, you just can't mingle with the world. If God has brought us to the light, then what fellowship or what communion do we have with those things that are of darkness? I know sometimes it happens that, you know, in a marriage situation, you know, one individual comes to the Lord and the other doesn't. I thank God that we can pray and believe God And the scripture does talk about that unbelief, that unbeliever being sanctified by the one that has been brought to the Lord. But, you know, there's no way that you would desire that kind of relationship. It can happen because, you know, sometimes, very often, you know, when two people are married, they're not saved. And they, you know, neither knows the Lord. But if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you certainly wouldn't want to marry somebody who doesn't know God. As it tells us, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? It just doesn't match. And you're going to be pulling at each other if you don't have that like-mindedness. And it tells us in verse 15, and what conquered hath Christ with Belial? You just can't, you know, Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You know, you're going to hold to the one and despise the other. You can't, you know, serve God and mammon. You know, love one and you know, hate the other. You know, they're going to pull at each other. So it says here, and what concord or agreement, harmony hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Oh, the beautiful plan of God that he would take us for a people. Oh, yes, they had a temple at the time of the old covenant. Oh, yes, they all gathered at the temple. And the presence of the Lord would come down. The presence of the Lord was there behind the scenes in the holiest of holies there in the ark that represented the presence of the Lord. But praise the Lord, now God has a people for his temple. He puts his spirit, his presence within his people to lead them, to guide them. It says here, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Oh, that's the beauty of the wonderful new covenant that the Lord prepared. And then he says in verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh yes, he calls us to be separated. In other words, to be holy. And because we're holy, we're on that highway of holiness. And you know, as we read in Isaiah 35, the unclean don't walk that route. Those that are full of sin, those that don't know God, there's a separation. But how beautiful it is when God calls us out of the world and makes himself known. And we have this wonderful privilege of coming to God. Oh, praise the Lord. So therefore, we don't mingle and mess as much as, you know, we could possibly be separated. That's what we desire. And certainly not to touch the unclean thing with the knowledge that therefore God will receive us and he'll be a father unto us and we'll be his sons and daughters. What a wonderful plan. What a gift we have been given. But there is a separation because he's called us to that highway of holiness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go now to the, well, we're right there practically if you haven't closed your Bible, but here we are. Let's go to the 7th chapter of 2 Corinthians here. And here it says in verse 1, having therefore these promises dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so here it tells us the need, yes, to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Oh, he puts it within us to know when we seek his will, when we seek his ways, when we read the scripture. That Holy Ghost that he puts within us teaches us how to be, how to dress, how to think, how to talk, how to pray, all those things that we so desperately need to know, how to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, how to be made holy in the sight of God. It says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, the title that I've given this message. And that's what we do. We heard these promises. They've been declared. They've been given to us. But there's this need to walk in the way of holiness. You know, it tells us in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I'm going to go there for a moment. Look at verse 12. We read that same verse pretty much in Isaiah 35. It says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. All that strengthening that God gives us, that faith that he puts in our hearts so we can lift up our hands which hang down, those feeble knees, we can rejoice in our Lord. It says, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Well, I'll tell you what, if we're not walking in the way, if our way is crooked, if we're trying to mingle and mess with the world, then there's no light in us. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ can't be seen. And you know, people are looking at us. We're living epistles, seen and read of all men, and they're going to know, well, you know, that's not a Christian. That isn't right. So there's such a need to make straight paths for our feet. I'd say perfecting holiness in the fear of God, so that which is lame be turned to God rather than out of the way, that it be healed. But let it rather be healed. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So they can see the light in us. We've got to be living that life. We've got to be walking in holiness. And is it important? I think we've got to look at the next verse. Verse 14 here in Hebrews 12. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Oh, God's expectations of his people. Oh, yes, he's expecting us, if we've been bought by that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are to be his own peculiar treasure. As he tells us in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 9 and 10, where it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, there we were. We didn't know God. We were all back there at one point. And you know, it was the graciousness of God. It was his great mercy that called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light, that showed us mercy, a people that didn't know mercy. And now, oh yes, God had expected that of his first covenant people, that they would be a holy people, that they would be his peculiar treasure. But, you know, he stipulated that they have to follow in his ways and listen to his voice and obey His voice. And they did do so well. But praise the Lord had a plan. Oh yes, that new covenant that He brought forth in His blood. Oh yes, we who were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, praise the Lord, that price that He paid for us, who barely was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Oh, yes, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Oh, yes, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love to the brethren, seeing that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Oh, praise the Lord, that plan that He brought forth for us there from 1 Peter, the first chapter. But how beautiful it is. He made it possible that we could be that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, that holy nation, that peculiar people that show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Oh, He made it possible that we could be that people of His choosing, those that He has called out of the world into His glorious light. What a privilege it is. Oh, yes. He commanded us to be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. Yes, He commanded us to be holy and to walk in holiness. And He declared that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Oh, yes. It tells us also here in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. It says in verse 25, "See that you refuse not Him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused Him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from Him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now He hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." You know, when this is all over, everything is done and said, the only things that are going to remain are the things that we've done for the Lord. The things that can't be shaken. This whole earth is going to pass away. The heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. All the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. And all the works that are in this world are going to be burnt up. There's going to be nothing except the things that we did for the kingdom of God's sake. Those things which cannot be shaken, that hope that is deep in our heart, that faith that He puts within us. Those are the things that will only remain. That kingdom of God that He has prepared for those that love Him. He tells us in verse 28 here in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." We know it's going to be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. He's as consuming fire, and he's coming with vengeance. He's coming to receive a people that have walked with him, that have given their lives to him, a called out people that he has set aside, that he has sanctified for his own plan and his purpose. A people that he did predestinate and that he did then justify, a people that he will yet then glorify, people that have been dedicated to God for his plan and his purpose. We know that one day we all will appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that are done in this body, whether it's good or whether it's bad. We're going to stand there, that awesome moment when we stand before the Holy One. Oh, I'll tell you what, Moses trembled when he met the Lord. Oh, yes. God made himself known to him. That angel of the Lord spake out of the burning bush there. It was burning, but yet not consumed. And he stood aside to see it, and God called him. Oh, he feared. I'll tell you what, people are going to fear when they see Almighty God. Oh, that description of him in Revelation, the first chapter, as John saw him. And here it was, John, Revelation 1, the 12th verse, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed the garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head, his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Oh, you're not going to stand before God with sin. You're not on that highway of holiness. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as a sound of many waters. Oh, and he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as a sun shineth in his strength. Oh, I tell you what, that's God. Tells us in verse 17, and when I saw him, this is John, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Oh, that's the Almighty One that all are going to stand for before and give an account. Oh yes, here we are on earth. Our God is a consuming fire. For sure, we want to get ready for that day when we stand before him. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means that no unclean thing and be part of his temple. But praise the Lord, there's something that God has done for us. He cleansed us from all unrighteousness. He took away that filthy garment of sin that enclosed us. Oh yes, he took all the shame and all the debauchery and all the hopelessness and all of that and gave us something great, something wonderful. He made us holy in his sight. He clothed us with his own garment of righteousness so that one day we could stand before him having on his garment of righteousness, being clothed in his holiness. And so it is. We come out from among them to be separate. We touch not the unclean thing, and we know that he will receive us. His promise is that he would be a father unto us, and we would be his sons and daughters. Oh, praise the Lord. So having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Oh yes, he put the Holy Ghost within us so that we can know what's right and what's wrong, so we can discern between the clean and the unclean, and so that we could be his own peculiar treasure. Oh yes, be breathed upon by that Almighty Spirit. Praise the Lord, we could perfect holiness, we could be sanctified, we could be dedicated and consecrated to the Lord, not conforming to this world, but being transformed, being changed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, oh God, oh Lord, that you have breathed upon us. Oh God, your precious promises, that wonderful gift of thy Spirit, oh Lord, that you put within us, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would breathe tonight, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that you would talk tonight. I pray that you would cleanse tonight, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'd help us to get to that place of holiness, Lord. Oh God, oh God, for without holiness no man shall see God. And I pray, oh Lord, you talk to us, Lord. Oh God, and I pray, oh Lord, if there's any hearts that are not given over to you, Lord, I pray that you convict them and talk to them and turn them over to you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I pray that you'd keep us on that highway of holiness, Lord, where no unclean thing walks upon, Lord. But, oh Lord, you have a people there, the ransomed of the Lord, oh God, that you put on that highway, Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that you keep us, use us, oh God, let us be a light in this world. And oh God, I pray that you perfect us. Oh God, put thy holiness within us, Lord Jesus. Perfect it in the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing tonight, we're going to go to number 324 in the hymnal and sing, I Surrender All, number 324.